gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 6 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-1 to the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Representative John Sarbanes, Democrat of the great state of Maryland, on the Celebrity Hotline this hour. Check in with us on health care and much more. MSNBC's David Schuster.
Love him.
Whee! On the Celebrity Hotline next hour, StephanieMiller.com, the website. You can email us all there. Executive producer Chris LeBoy, voice deity Jim Ward, or me, Stephanie Miller, the president. Opening a can of whoop-ass on Wall Street yesterday.
Instead of learning the lessons of Lehman and the crisis from which we're still recovering, they're choosing to ignore those lessons.
Senator Max Baucus says they are closer than ever on health care.
I think basically as senators on and off the committee and Republicans start begins to know more about all this, their comfort level starting to come up a bit, and I believe that strongly. And I do believe that in the end we'll have significant bipartisan support.
It sounds like we're going to get infinitely closer to it and never quite get there.
Yeah.
I don't know about that, but I have confidence that Keith Olbermann is going to marry me. So Max Baucus is confident he's going to get bipartisan support. Good for him.
I think we're going to get something so watered down that it's not even going to resemble reform.
I'm not going there yet.
All right.
Okay. Mark Williams, he's one of their Tea Party organizers.
And former talk show host.
That's weird. Apparently, he was right in the middle of the, was about 60,000 people? The 60,000 Loon March?
Mm-hmm.
No, it was millions.
Mm-hmm.
It was on ABC.
Yeah, we'll talk about that later. Anyway, in the midst of that giant sea of racist signs, he didn't see nothing like that.
I saw very little overt racism or anger, and those were on the fringes and were marginalized.
Fringes.
The hundreds of signs are fringes and marginalized?
Yes.
Of the 6,000 people there, it was 4,927 tops who had racist signs.
Mm. All right. Julie in Seattle, a fine American. Woo, mama, it just keeps climbing up the stupid poll as to how many actual right-wing loons were in D.C. last weekend after being shown up by ABC as a gigantic lying sack of poop for claiming ABC had reported 1 million morons on the mall. Dick Army just emailed me to claim some estimates, quote-unquote, put it at 2 million loons at the whatever protest on Sunday. So, Jim, does that make it the 2 million loon march? Apparently, yes.
Sure.
That's it.
Yeah, in fact, we'll have to ask. David Schuster is cited in Dick Army's little letter that he missive that he fires off.
That's
people.
Right.
Some media reports has gone as high as 2 million. No.
Says no.
Only on Fox.
While liberal pundits like David Schuster have thrown out insulting low estimates of under 50,000.
He's been on the mall before. He's a pretty good idea of how many.
Hey, here's a little FYI for you. A lot of people saw the inauguration. That's what 2 million people looks like.
We were there.
Uh-huh. Yes, I was there in the midst of it.
That was actually kind of a nightmare dealing with that kind of crowd.
All right. And then a couple of emails just about the, the normal, the power and persuasion of the Stephanie Miller newscast. What can I say?
I want full newspaper coverage. Mm-hmm. I want magazine stories. I want books. I want films. I want TV. I want radio. I want us on the air 24 hours a day. This is our moment.
Oh, I have actually a couple of signs that my career is skyrocketing. Would you like to know why?
Why?
I'm going to be featured on a dog food bag. Gentle Giant Rescue will be featuring me as one of these celebrities on their bags of dog food.
You're a celebrity? They have a pretty low bar, don't they?
And Stephanie in Madison writes, "Hi, Steph. We attended the Fighting Bob Fest in Baraboo, Wisconsin this past Saturday.
Never miss it.
It's an annual gathering of progressives. About 8,500 people attended. Senator Bernie Sanders was speaking, talking about all the right-wing talk shows and how for every left-leaning one, there's 10 right-leaning ones. Yes.
Computer says yes.
At least. He said something like, listen to Tom Hartman, Ed Schultz, and Stephanie Miller. They're wonderful.
Oh!
Why, thank you, Senator. A shout-out from the good senator.
That's awesome.
How lovely. And this from Charles Pierce, the author of Idiot America.
Yeah, Charlie Pierce.
We know. Yes. Whom we just had on the show yesterday. Steph, not for nothing, but since I appeared on the show this morning, this was just yesterday, not more than an hour after the show, If not for nothing, since I appeared on the show this morning, the book's jumped about 700 places on Amazon in The Mighty Steph and the Mighty Mooks.
Wow.
Why, thank you, Charles. Idiot America. Woo, there it goes with a bullet.
There you go.
Again.
It's a great book.
Yes, it is. All right, let's check some other news we don't want to lose, shall we, kids? Here we go.
Yippee. It's time for stand-up news. And now, here's anchor person, Stephanie Miller.
Thank you. Thank you very much. When news breaks here, it stays broken. Our top story. Oh, no, more bad news for Republicans. In the wake of President Obama's nationally televised speech to Congress last week, new national poll indicates the president's approval rating is on the rise. The CNN poll released Monday. So just, let's see, 58? That's almost 60%, Jim.
Mm-hmm. Huh.
Question the poll approve of how Obama is handling his duties in the White House. That's up 5 points from late August.
Great.
On health care reform, 51% now favor Obama's proposals, 46% oppose. I believe we have the president.
No. We have John Boehner.
Of course. Mm-hmm.
I heard the news. Obama's poll numbers are rising. I jumped out of my tanning bed, slipped on a puddle of tanning oil and bronzer, and nearly dropped my Rob Roy. That just can't be. The American people will stand for it. I realize it was the American people they were polling, but that just can't be! Must have been some Kenyan-Indonesian commie voodoo mind trick. Thank God for old people. At least the geezers are still on our side. We got them convinced that Obama's socialized Hitler African government takeover is going to take away their Medicare. It was a cinch. All we did was re-edit episodes of Dr. Kildare and the Lawrence Welk Show and splice in subliminal pictures of gay French Mexican UN stormtroopers dragging old folks in front of Nazi death panels featuring Obama and Barney Frank with the Hitler mustaches giving a thumbs down as Grandma's thrown into the wood chipper with a yappy little Pekingese. Worked like a charm, just like it did in 93. Well, if you watch the anti-healthcare ads we did then in extreme slow-mo, don't blink. Or you'll miss Bill Clinton look-alike raping Louise while Hillary goes after Harry with a bullwhip and a strap-on.
Oh, jeez.
That Alex Castellanos is a genius. Oh, cabin boy, give me another highball. There's a good lad.
And finally, the headline is, socialism threat has long history for healthcare overall foes. The debate is about healthcare. The threat is of a march towards socialism. The words come from a famous voice. Not Sarah Palin, 2009. Ronald Reagan, 1961.
No, okay.
From here, it's a short step to all the rest of socialism, Reagan. Then an actor warned in a 1961 record sponsored by the AMA.
Record? Yes.
You remember
LP.
Them. I had them.
I do, too. I still have some. As a matter of fact, but nothing to play him on.
After President Kennedy created a commission that laid the foundation for Medicare, in 1961, Reagan was instrumental in stalling Medicare. In the record distributed to 3,000 doctors' wives, he decried the foot-in-the-door approach to socialized medicine. Unless big government was stopped, he warned, you and I are going to spend our sunset years telling our children and our children's children what it was once like in America when men were free.
Oh, no.
Wives were asked to hold coffee klatches where friends and neighbors would be presented with the record.
In front of the hi-fi.
And stationary to write members of Congress on. Do we have the record? I believe we do. Mm-hmm.
Thank you for purchasing this long-playing album, fellow American. You won't regret it. Well, I suppose you've heard by now that this Medicare nonsense is the first step towards communism. I know you have because I told you on my last record, which was made out of shellac. I hope you didn't smash it over your wife's head while in a drunken stupor, but enough about my father. The point is, this guy Kennedy gives me the willies, not just because he has a funny accent. I'm pretty sure there's no R in the word Cuba. But mostly because of his commie tendencies. Not only is he soft on communism, but his wife is part French. And I suspect he might soon give the Negroes the right to vote. And this Medicare malarkey, typical pinko commie socialist claptrap. Why, if you can't afford to go to the hospital, just don't get sick. It's the American way. If we let the commie-sympathizing, Jew-coddling, Negro-loving lefties have their way, your children will be sharing water fountains with darkies. Can miscegenation and equal rights for brown and yellow people and even degenerate homosexuals be far behind? Soon women might get the idea that they're fit for more than wifely duties and making coffee and start demanding equal pay and paid maternity leave like they have in those Stalinist hellholes like Denmark and Sweden. I say we need that Kennedy guy like a hole in the head. Say, that's not a bad idea.
Oh, no.
We'll see if E. Howard Hunt has any plans to visit Dallas.
No.
Oh, there I go again.
You know, I know it's tragedy plus time. I'm not even sure even that was enough time.
No, that wasn't that. Enough time.
Mm, yeah. Okay, that's all for stand-up news. I'm here all week. Tell your friends if you like.
I'm just,
you know, that won an Emmy.
I'm just reflecting the mood of the country right now, according to Fox News.
Okay, if you'd like more Emmy Award-winning Jim Ward Fall to Roll.
Jim Ward's Apocryphal But True.
There you go.
StyleAdStephanMuller.com.
Mm-hmm.
Go buy the album. Thank you. Which is not on LP, by the way.
No.
No. It is not available on vinyl of any kind.
Or shellac. In 78.
Can you get one of those radio, what are the tubes?
No, what was that? What was that?
No, not the
cylinders.
The cylinders, yes. Yeah.
The wax cylinders.
Wow,
yeah.
Here's a not-so-fun fact about the history of this socialism charge. Once the public, it's from the same story, once the public associates the word socialism with a plan, it's hard to change the impression. In 1945, when Truman addressed Congress about a national insurance plan, 75% of Americans supported the proposal. Huh. By 1949, after it was targeted by opponents, only 21% did.
Wow.
Yep. People respond to propaganda. Democrats keep forgetting that. Like Michael Dukakis responding to the Willie Horton.
Yeah.
Well, I think American people are smart enough not to follow. No, they're not.
And a lot of the original polling, most people, like me, when it's explained to them, you're like, well, who would be against that?
Yeah.
Why would you be against a public option? What's the, you know?
Nazi, French, gay, death paddles, socialism, Stalin.
As Jim may have alluded in stand-up news, there may be yet another element to it, which is the theme of today's, guess the quote. Jim, who sits surrounded by middle-aged white guys, a sepia snapshot of the days when such pals ran Washington like their own men's club, Joe Wilson yelled, "You lie," at a president who didn't. But fair or not, what I heard was an unspoken word in the air, "You lie, boy." Who said that?
Bill Cosby. No.
Spectacularly bad guess. No, Maureen Dowd in a... Another thought-provoking New York Times. Who said the congressman we learned belonged to Sons of Confederate Veterans, led a 2000 campaign to keep the Confederate flag waving above South Carolina's state capitol, and denounced as a smear the true claim of a black woman that she was the daughter of Strom Thurmond, the 48th segregationist candidate for president. Wilson clearly did not like being lectured and even rebuked by the brainy black president presiding over the majestic chamber. Who said that?
Flip Wilson. No relation.
No, and not Geraldine either. Maureen Dowd in another... All right, Jim, one last one. Who said, "I've been loath to admit that the shrieking lunacy of the summer, the frantic efforts to paint our first black president as the other, a foreigner, a socialist, fascist, Marxist, racist, commie, Nazi, a cad who would snuff old people, a snake who would indoctrinate kids, as much to do with race. But Wilson's shocking disrespect for the office of the president, no Democrat ever shouted liar at W when he was hawking a fake case for war in Iraq,
they should have.
Convinced me. Some people just can't believe a black man is president and will never accept it." Who said that?
Nipsey Russell.
No, Arlene Francis. No, it was Maureen Dowd.
Joyce Boulafont.
My fine American music, please. The rest of Maureen Dowd's column. For two centuries, the South has feared a takeover by blacks or the feds. In Obama, they have both. The state that fired the first shot of the Civil War has now given us this. Senator Jim DeMint exhorted conservatives to break the president by upending his health care plan. Rusty DePass, a GOP activist, said that a gorilla head that escaped from a zoo was just one of Michelle's ancestors. Yeah. Lovelorn Mark Sanford tried to refuse the president's stimulus money, and now Joe Wilson. Jim Clyburn had a warning for Obama advisors who want to forgive Wilson, ignore the ignorant outbursts, and move on. They're going to have to develop ways in this White House to deal with things and not let them fester out there. Otherwise, they'll see numbers moving in the wrong direction. Jim Clyburn, the whip from South Carolina as well. Here's one of the good news in the CNN polling that shows that at long last Americans do have some decency. 85% say Joe Wilson's yelling "If you lie" to the president during the address to Congress was inappropriate.
Good.
Good for you, America. Mm-hmm. Just as big a stick as Kanye West at this point.
Yes.
I think Americans are united in that. All right, so 8 and 10, Jim, that's nearly 80%.
Yes, very close to that.
Of Democrats in the CNN poll favored the president's plan, a similar number of Republicans opposing Obama. It is a little ironic, the president that really ran on the first really bipartisan power of we, you know, reaching out, that you know, Republicans, like you said, Jim, have once again
They're
succeeded in dividing,
their
dividing, fear-mongering.
Isn't it ironic?
Yeah, a little bit. The survey also indicates a generational divide, which we saw, obviously, in the election. A majority of it, but here's the other place where, you know, Republicans are winning on this one. A majority of Americans over 65 continue to oppose his plan. So, you know, they're scaring seniors,
like I said,
for now, has worked. And I told you I was in Utah for vacation.
Mm-hmm.
And was chatting with some lovely senior citizens who I heard repeating every Fox News lie.
Yeah.
nice people, red state people from Utah, but, you know, I just was like, well, but that's not true.
Right.
but here's the thing.
There were a lot of very nice people in Germany in the 30s, too, who were misled by their leaders.
We apologize to the entire state of Utah. All right. 21 minutes after the hour. Where we're at with health care as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Facts with Slag Whistle. It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
Do it or not. 26 minutes after the hour, 1-800, or just be the same night as every night. Me in the box wine and the dog hair in my mouth.
Yeah.
26 minutes after the hour, 1-800, step 1-2, the phone number toll, free from anywhere. Things are looking up! And SMBC's David Schuster coming up on the Celebrity Hotline in just a few minutes.
Next hour, he will be.
Oh, pardon me. Did I get that wrong?
Well,
John Sarbanes coming up this hour, Democrat of the great state of Maryland next. Pardon me. I got ahead of myself.
Yes, you did.
You know how I get all...
girly.
A tizzy about the Celebrity Hotline. All right. Senate health care negotiators said yesterday they have narrowed their differences on a host of difficult issues with just a day or so left to seal an elusive bipartisan deal.
I just threw up in my mouth a little
bit. That could change the course of the debate. Max Baucus said we are getting very close. Ben Nelson, Democrat, he's a conservative Democrat, said I'm very optimistic we're going to be able to pass a bill that will get us 60 votes. I didn't feel it a week and a half ago, but I'm very optimistic now. What you guys are saying is what kind of bill, what kind of watered-down mush might this be?
Mm-hmm.
You know, the problem is, you know, what's her name? Esmeralda, the one in charge of everything. Senator Ghostly.
That would be Senator Susan Collins of Maine?
Exactly.
Yes.
Here's the thing. She just said the other day she's not even going to vote for a trigger option. That's the thing. These are the most moderate of Republicans that might come across the aisle on something.
Or not.
Yes. That's what I'm saying. Like, I agree with Howard Dean, what he said on Meet the
Press.
Yes.
51 votes. It's all we need.
You know, that's what my fear is. Like I say, if you get watered down much, it's not going to work. And then Obama, as he said, is going to own it anyway.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So that's the problem. What's her name? Susan Esmeralda.
Senator Susan Collins of Maine.
Exactly. Anyway, she said that the trigger is just a, you know, it's just the first step in a public plan. I'm like, well,
yeah,
good.
Yeah, that's the point.
But so she says she's not even going to vote for that. She said the problem with the trigger is it just delays the public option. So, I mean, that was one idea. You know, when the president said, I'm open to other ideas, I prefer a public plan, but this is one of the ideas. Well, she's not even going to, even the most moderate Republican is not going to vote for that.
And then he'll be attacked from both sides in 2012.
Yeah, and by the way.
By the Republicans that say it's socialist, communist, something.
And we'll get more. We'll get more into the poll numbers. There's a reason the poll numbers are going up. You know, people want health reform. 28 minutes after the hour, back with Representative John Sarbanes next on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
We've got entirely too many troublemakers here.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show, 33 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEPH-1-2, the phone number toll-free from anywhere. We pause briefly now while Jim does his impression of his wife Janice, Siamese cat, in the middle of the night.
In the bedroom?
Okay, Johnny, what is it this time?
Johnny?
Food.
Oh, well, they're two. They're both Siamese albino brothers.
Oh.
So I named them Johnny and Edgar after the
winter.
Yeah, I get it. Okay, thank you, Jim. That was too entertaining not to share with the folks. All right, back to healthcare. If only someone who knew something about something could help us. Yes, why? Who is it, Chris?
Representative John Sarbanes from the great state of Maryland.
Good morning, Congressman.
How you doing today?
I am all right, sir. The poll numbers obviously are going up for the president and going up on health care after his speech, as we suspected they would. What do you make of that?
Well, I think he laid out the case very well, and you know, he was able to get a forum where he could cut through some of this noise that was created in August and tell people what was really going on in these proposals. And I think when people hear the good information, when they hear accurate information about it, they say, these are all the things we've been pushing for you know, a bunch of years here. Let's make it happen.
Well, Congressman, you know, the problem, though, is we were saying earlier in the show that it's ironic for a president that really ran on such a bipartisan kind of a feeling that, you know, they have succeeded, as they normally do, I think, our friends on the right, in kind of fear-mongering and dividing, and you know, people are split on this. They've succeeded, I think, in trying to demonize to such a degree that, you know, obviously, as you're finding in the Congress and the Senate, you know, the battle lines are hardening, aren't they, in some ways?
Yeah, but you know what? I still think that there is a quiet majority out there in the country that knows that we have to make some of these changes. The important message that the president sent to sort of address this theme that the other side's put out, that somehow we're trying to turn the world upside down, is that we're keeping a lot of the good things about the health system that we have in place. We're not turning the world upside down. We're trying to fix the stuff that's broken.
Right.
And I think that assures people, and then they get back to thinking about, yeah, there are these problems. Let's fix them. I can be pretty confident that the situation I have, if I think it's a good one, will stay in place, but we can fix some of these broken things.
Mm-hmm. Well, Congressman, I guess, you know, you're probably obviously keeping track with the latest developments that Max Baucus says they're getting closer in the Senate. But, the thing that I had brought up, Congressman, is even Susan Collins, who's, you know, obviously one of the very few Republicans that might support any kind of health care reform, correct, has said, oh, I'm not going to support a trigger. You know, now
right.
The president in his speech said, I am open to other ideas. I think a public option is the best. Give me some other idea. Well, I mean, I agree with Howard Dean that, you know, if we have to do this with reconciliation, we have to. If you're going to get every Republican is not going to accept any idea that a Democrat comes up with, what do we do?
I think the press has gotten entirely too focused on what this so-called, you know, gang of six is doing over there in the Senate. There's 435 members of the House. There's 100 senators out there. Everybody's contributing to this discussion. And four out of five committees that have jurisdiction have reported out bills that, for example, include a public option. So, you know, they'll come forth with their plan out of the Finance Committee, and that's fine. And that'll get entered into the mix, but I don't think it becomes the be-all and the end-all of the discussion.
Mm-hmm.
And on that public option, I'm very strong for that still. I think we ought to push for it. It's not a secret plot to take over the universe. It is just a good option to present to people to add to the mix. It's a small piece of the overall puzzle, but it's a very important piece. So I think we ought to keep pushing for it, just as we push for the other things that are there.
Well, I mean, Congressman, I agree with people that say, you know, otherwise this is just another big giveaway to private health insurance. They're going to get all these millions of new customers with no checks or balance, right, on how they're going to treat people, correct?
Look, the insurance industry has run the show for a long time, and they don't want to give up total monopoly over it. And that's what adding a little public competition into the mix would do. It's not going to drive them out of business. It's just going to make them act better.
Right.
And that's what we need. And people who've had to deal with these insurance companies when they've been in a position to take advantage of folks have come away with these horror stories. That's what we're trying to deal with.
Yep, absolutely. Congressman, what's your stand on it looks like maybe as early as today, House Democrats could take up a resolution against Joe Wilson? I mean, I for the life of me, I can't understand why he wouldn't go to the well of Congress. You know, this new poll, 85% of Americans think it was completely inappropriate. I agree with Jim Clyburn that you can't have this kind of precedent. If he's not going to, you know, apologize to you House colleagues, you know, I think you've got to do something, don't you?
Yeah, well, we'll see what that resolution says exactly. I mean, it was an outrageous outburst. But I'll tell you what, to me, the best way we address what Joe Wilson did is we pass a good health care bill and we make him, at best, at most, a tiny little asterisk or footnote on everything that we've accomplished with respect to health care reform. That's the best answer to what he did, and that's why we got to keep pushing through and making sure that in terms of the policy that we're trying to get here.
Well, I agree with, you know, with that and with Nancy Pelosi that this is a distraction, and health care obviously is the real issue, as the president has said too. But, you know, are you as concerned as I am this, you know, this march on Washington over the weekend? I mean, there are just getting to be some really blatantly racist and frankly, some scary elements to this debate, aren't there?
Yeah, but you know what? Are we surprised? We had a major change in our country last year.
Mm-hmm.
And there are still... there are still elements and views and biases that exist in the country that we're certainly all aware of, and they kind of have to be exorcised, you know, from the equation. That's going to produce this kind of spasmodic response that you get on the part of some people. But the great majority...
Can I just say spasmodic is my favorite description thus far?
Yes.
About the right-wing protests?
You know, but the great majority of Americans know we got to move forward, and we also got to pull together as a society, and I think that that's going to win the day, ultimately.
Well, yeah, one would hope. So what's your prediction? You know, how, I mean, the Senate obviously says they're moving probably this week. I mean, how close are we? Do you think the vice president was right, that the president will have a bill by Thanksgiving?
Well, we're certainly going to try. I do believe we got to keep pushing for closure on this in the near term and not get into the mindset that somehow it's going to go on for months and months. We got to bring closure to it, largely because the people that don't want to see anything happen, they really will capitalize on the notion of slow down, slow down, slow down. Before you know it, it will slip through our fingers. And here's the proposition. We don't want to get out 2-3 years from now and look back and say, my God, we were this close. It was right in our grasp. We could have solved a lot of these problems that people are struggling with, and we let it slip through our fingers. So that's why we got to keep focused on this thing and bring it home.
Right. Well, I mean, you know, before you go, Congressman, it struck me as ironic. The president, of course, was talking to Wall Street yesterday, and clearly the lack of regulation is part of what led to what happened there and to, you know, our economy nearly collapsing. And isn't this exactly what we're talking about in health care? That, you know, we can't expect the private health insurance industries to just regulate themselves.
Well, that's absolutely right. But there's another analogy to be drawn with what the president said yesterday, which is already you're beginning to see people fall away from the commitment to re-regulate and reform the financial industry. And it's just because it's hard to keep people focused on things, even the big things, which is why we have to push through on this health care now, and the notion that somehow, you know, we'll clean up some of these problems later, that'll fade away very quickly if we don't accomplish it now. So that's why we got to stick with this thing.
And that's why we got to have our John Sarbaneses in the Congress. Thanks so much for taking time for us, Representative. We appreciate it.
My pleasure. We'll keep fighting.
All right.
Take
thank
care.
You, sir. There you go.
Yeah.
For the great state of Maryland, Representative John Sarbanes. See, you guys drag me down, and then somebody picks me up again on health care. See? He's a happy-clappy liberal like
yes,
me.
Yes, he is.
Woo-hoo! We're still going to get health care.
But in what form?
42
what?
Minutes.
There I go, dragging you down again.
You're like a Siamese cat in the middle of the night. You know what? What does Sassy Ward think about the Siamese cat?
Oh, really?
Not anymore.
Okay.
She's getting too
Sassy
old for
Ward
that
is
now.
Jim's other very manly named cat.
Yes.
I adopted her from a neighbor. Wasn't my fault.
Sassy Ward. We'll see Sassy Ward now. 42 minutes after the hour. Aha! All right. We will be back with some more polling on health care and Grampy McSame and his thoughts as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
What the hell was that?
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
Oh, It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 47 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-1-2, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. Deb in Chicago. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show on healthcare. Hi, Deb.
Hi, how are you, Steph?
Good, go ahead.
Okay, well, what I don't understand about the Obama administration and being in Chicago, I'm a huge fan of them, is why they haven't reached out to giant corporations for help on the public option. I think that one of the reasons that GM went down is because of all the health care they have to pay for. Even Walmart,
good point.
Who refuses to pay for their own health care. I mean, every large corporation in America would benefit from a public option. So I can't
Absolutely.
Figure out why they're not looking at, you know, like a holistic approach to the whole thing. And, you know, it seems to me like that we need like that umbrella understanding so much more from the administration, and we're gonna be like, where's Bill Gates? Why isn't Bill Gates?
Right. You know, Deb, you make a really good, like, big picture argument, because that's the thing. A lot of people, when they do these polling and, oh, we're satisfied, we like our health care the way it is, it's like, well, a lot of it's because, oh, your company's giving it to you, so you think it's free. And, you know, meanwhile, exactly. Your company's going bankrupt like GM because of health care costs.
Right. I also believe that everybody who says that they're happy with their health care has never had to put somebody in the hospital.
Right.
They've
never gotten sick.
Right, has never really gotten sick. I mean, I have health care and I'm petrified. You know, I fell off a Vespa this summer and I thought, oh my God, this is the end of me. Not because I hurt myself so badly, but I thought if I have to go to the hospital, you know, that's it for me.
More importantly, how does one fall off a Vespa?
That's easy. It only has two wheels.
Well, it reminds me of that Jennifer Coolidge character in one of those documentaries where she fell off an escalator and injured herself. All right. Thank you, Deb. Sorry about that. Didn't mean to call you spasmodic. Okay.
Do you know what a Vespa is?
Yes.
Okay. Good.
It's a little scooter thing.
Yes. Italian scooter.
David in Jersey. Hey, David.
Hello, Stephanie. How are you?
Good. Go ahead.
I think people don't give President Obama enough credit for being the savvy politician that he is. He couldn't just attack the Republicans the way so many of us liberals want him to, because this all would have devolved in the health care area and in other areas. So he said, she said, type of fight. What he did was give the Republicans enough rope to hang themselves. He didn't have his own plan out there, and they've been vilifying him to the point where you see Joe Wilson yelling out, "You lie," before a joint session of Congress. He has allowed them to make themselves look ridiculous.
You know, I bet you when, you know, that calm look on his face when Joe Wilson did that, I bet in his thought bubble it was like,
yes.
Score.
just what he wants. I've heard somebody say, oh, President Obama is playing chess when everybody else is playing checkers.
Yeah.
Yep.
And could be. Let's wait till we, you know, see how this all ends up. I don't know.
I think I should.
Well, you know, the point, I mean, people forget, I mean, this was a one-term United States senator, a 48-year-old black man, and he had a political strategy where he could become president of the United States.
Yeah, well, that's right. You know, nobody's made money, as I've said before, David, on, you know, counting Barack Obama out. So,
yeah
I think that was in his thought bubble. After the Joe Wilson, it was, yeah, nothing.
That's a three-pointer from downtown.
No, nothing but net.
Nothing but net.
Yeah, my poll numbers are going. Ow. Yeah. All right. From downtown. Okay. The president dismissed the uproar over Joe Wilson's heckling, suggesting it was only a distraction. This is part of what happens. I mean, it becomes a big circus instead of us focusing on health care. Meanwhile, I think, as we mentioned, Steny Hoyer, other senior Democrats have indicated that they would advance a resolution. Could be as early as today, right, Christopher?
Yes. And actually, Michael Steele had comment on the journalism thing yesterday.
Did he now?
Yes, he did.
Oh, good. Okay.
And I think it's because they don't want an apology. What they want is a sideshow.
That's what you're there for.
Yeah.
That's how I roll, baby.
Here's the thing that gives me some...
Hat gently perched.
What gives me some hope is the congressman we just had on, who, you know, has also made up the point, look, there are a lot of bills. The Senate finance, there may be too much focus on just that. It's not the only bill. I love this yesterday. Lindsey Graham said, any chance for a compromise will hinge on the outcome of the Finance Committee. They said the House version of the health care legislation is moot. Oh, really? One entire chamber of Congress is completely moot. It doesn't really matter what they do. They might as well be playing Scrabble or Yahtzee over there.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
One senior Democratic lawmaker, Tom Harkin, a Democrat of Iowa, has said the Senate's health care bill would include a public option. He said the bill, mark my word, I'm the chairman, is going to have a strong public option. He's just filled Ted Kennedy's seat as chairman of Health, Education, Labor, and Pensions. Mm-hmm. So hey. Jeff in Jacksonville, Florida, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show on The President. Hello.
I've been married a long time. I know what we have to do. Howard Dean needs to set an appointment with the president, go to the White House, excuse himself to use the restroom, go find Michelle's dresser, rumble through it a little bit, find the president's manhood, give it back to him, and then we ram single payer through with 51 votes.
Oh, dear, Jeff. All right. Jim, you're newly married. Is that true? Does Janice keep your manhood in a drawer?
No. Does Sassy keep it?
No.
He plays with it like a cat toy.
Yeah.
My manhood went once I had adopted a cat named Sassy.
Yes.
Jeannie in New York, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show on The President as well. Hey, Jeannie.
Hi. Hey, remember when Obama was running and he told the story about FDR, that the guy came up to him and said, we really need some movement on this issue, and FDR looked at him and said, make me. And the point being that the bottom up needs to push the leaders. Mm-hmm. And Tom Hartman often talks about how all movements are really starting from the population, and then they push. So we still need to push on this public option. I don't want to give up on it. That's what I mean. Let's keep calling.
Thank you. Thank you. You know these two wet blankets. They're here to kill all of my dreams. Thank you. Thank you for calling to buck me up, Jeannie. I appreciate it. All right.
All of your dreams?
Hmm?
All of your
Not
dreams?
All of your dreams.
Well, I've killed most of them myself. Yeah. I'm just saying you two have helped with some.
The Keith Olbermann thing is pretty out there, though. That's not going to happen.
Yeah, sorry.
What?
Okay, Senator Grampy McSame on the health care debate.
We want to fix health care. It's the cost, not the quality.
We
want to sit down at any time, anywhere, with the president or the Democrats and get this situation fixed.
Mm-hmm.
But we're not going to do it with government taking over health care in America.
Mm. In other words,
yes. So 5% of the people
fixing it,
having the option
nothing.
To have a public plan, that's a government takeover of health care. See, that's
I
how,
respect him for some reason. I can't
how do you
why.
How do you argue with lies?
Yeah,
that's the problem. That's why I'm saying we just you got to use reconciliation if you want real health care reform. Mm-hmm. In my opinion, James Carville on the situation. Rudy.
If they were worried about spending, why did they vote for the Iraq War with no funding? Why did they vote for tax cuts with no funding? Why did they have Medicare Part D with no funding? They don't care. This is not about spending. Well, let's be honest. It was all fine when Bush was doing it.
Right.
It just became bad when Obama was doing it. And that people understand that.
And more importantly, why did you marry Mary Madeline?
All
what the
right.
Hell?
The sex has got to be
must
just
be
mind blowing.
Yeah.
He has a good point in spicy Cajun flavor. I like it.
Nah. Y'all, but...
So the headline, the breaking news, poll reform opposition starting to ease, I think, as we've said. Who said that? I think it was... actually, could have been Howard Dean. He's like, his numbers will go back up when he gets health care. Oh, Bill Clinton said it as well.
Yeah.
As soon as we get real health care, passed, I think the people fret too much. It's like, oh, his numbers are going. Well, of course, you've had lunatics screaming all summer,
mm-hmm.
You know. After a summer of angry debate and protest, opposition to the effort has eased somewhat. There appears to be potential for further softening among critics. By the way, if Congress abandons the idea of the public option, a proposal that the Republicans have succeeded in lying enough to this point, unfortunately. Americans remain almost deadlocked in this poll in their opinion of the Democrats' health care initiative. 46% in favor, 48% opposed. There's a clean split on Obama's handling of the issue, 48% approving, the same number disapproving. But since mid-August, the percentage strongly behind the president on health care has risen to 32%. I think Ed Schultz was talking about this on TV the other day. I mean, they have succeeded in throwing out enough lies that now it's pretty evenly divided. But guess what? We won.
Mm-hmm.
So what are you going to do on health care? Americans largely want health care. You've got to go, look, we got voted in. We won this cycle. Let's try some real reform.
Yep.
57 minutes after the hour, back with MSNBC's David Schuster and much more as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
ladies and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it, 6 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-1-2, the phone number. Toll free to join the party, stephaniemiller.com, the website. Check it out. You can email us all there. Executive producer Chris LaVoy, award-winning, Emmy award-winning voice TV.
Not just award. Any award.
Yes, or me, Stephanie Miller. MSNBC's David Schuster.
Kanye West almost took it away from me.
this hour on the Celebrity Hotline. In the meantime, the president... giving Wall Street a talking to yesterday.
I have always been a strong believer in the power of the free market. I believe that jobs are best created not by government, but by businesses and entrepreneurs. I did not run for president to bail out banks or intervene in capital markets.
What?
But it is important to note that the very absence of common sense regulations able to keep up with a fast-paced financial sector is what created the need for that extraordinary intervention.
Yep.
What, he's a capitalist and not a socialist but that's been planning a government takeover since he was in kindergarten? Huh?
In Kenya?
What? That's what Bill O'Reilly says.
The fact of the matter here is that President Obama believes a huge federal government can bring relief and prosperity to the American people. But many Americans do not believe that.
That's the
they think the government will harm
it's
them and screw things up so badly, everyone will suffer, not just those without health insurance. And so the battle continues, and the factor is right in the middle of it. Bringing you the facts.
And they believe that crap because I tell it to them. Over and over again.
Because he has Mary Catherine Ham.
She smell her fingers sometimes when she...
That's what I always think, that she's a Saturday Night Live character, but apparently not. She is some sort of far-right operative of some sort.
I was at the protest on Saturday. There are folks out there who are church group members, who are Rotary Club members, who teach their children to volunteer at soup kitchens. And the idea that these people are all awful racists because they happen to disagree with Barack Obama on some very specific policies that they'll explain to you, I think is insane.
I see. So the signs about him going back to Africa and whatever. That was just
The big sign that featured him as a witch doctor with a bone through his nose. Yeah.
Huh.
That's not racist at all.
Those are people that work in soup kitchens.
Right.
Yeah.
With the Rotarians.
All right. Nothing nothing like some beaver stacked up to cleanse our palate of that nastiness for a moment. Julie, the official beaver reporter of the Stephanie Miller Show. Hey, this one's for the children. You can picnic with the beaver.
Huh?
There's a picture of an average American family picnicking with beaver.
Nice beaver.
It's from
Thank you. I just had it stuffed.
From an Idaho paper, the Spokesman Review. If your kids enjoy wildlife and being outdoors, you might consider taking part in Picnic with the Beaver.
Picnic with Jerry Mathers?
A free educational event at Liberty Lake County Park on this Sunday. The 2.5-hour gathering includes an easy hike to a beaver dam, a cultural activity featuring elders from a local tribe who will present a language lesson and speak about the beaver, the beaver's significance.
And how is the beaver significant?
It is significant.
Okay.
And an opportunity to learn about a new project called the Beaver Solution.
I wonder if the local native word for beaver means something else.
Other information, bring binoculars to spot beaver.
Why would one need binoculars?
It might be far away, beaver.
Okay.
Might be outside the 30-mile zone.
Mm-hmm. All right. Let's check some entertainment news quickly, shall we, kids?
There's no business like show business.
It's time for Tinsel Talk. Let's find out what's going on in Hollywood with Stephanie Miller.
Maybe a telephoto lens. You're outside the 30-mile zone. That's Lindsay Lohan getting out of the limo.
Boy, howdy. Okay. Matt Damon wants to have Clint Eastwood's career. He says he started directing when he was 39. I'm 38 now. I'm hoping to have the same career trajectory where I make movies as an actor until I'm 40, and then I start directing. I believe Clint had some thought on it.
So you think he can direct, Damon? Let me tell you, it takes more than looking pretty for the camera and learning a few karate moves. You got to know about everything that's going on the set, from what kind of tape the gaffers are using to the brand of peanut butter-filled pretzels they're serving on the craft services table. You gotta know exactly how much gauze and Vaseline they're using on the lens to make your over-the-hill, one-time ingenue fossil look like a blushing bride. You gotta know how to direct your underwater...
Sorry.
Huh?
Can't read my writing.
Gotta learn how to direct your underwear model would-be star to make it look like it could act his way out of a paper bag if he held a .44 Magnum to his head. See, that's not a bad idea. Listen, Skyler, or whatever your name is, you're probably wondering, should I have taken Strasburg, Meisner, or Uta Hagen? Well, seeing this is the most powerful handgun in the world, it could blow your head clean off. You gotta ask yourself one question. Do you at least know my lines? Well, do ya, punk?
Oh, dear.
Oh, dear. And finally, CBS early show host Harry Smith has taken a sick day from work, telling viewers he thinks he might have the swine flu.
Oh, really? Oh,
in an interview from his apartment, Smith told CBS viewers he started feeling achy and feverish over the weekend after a 25-mile bike ride in the rain.
Well.
Which might be why he's sick, I'm just going to say.
And then with
dancing all night at a birthday party.
Huh. That's but unwise if you're 20, but especially.
I wonder what Tom Brokaw might have.
This is Tom Brokaw, NBC Nightly News, formerly of NBC Nightly News. Uh-huh. News flash, Harry Smith, host of the Early Show from the Columbia Broadcasting System, has called in sick. Nothing spectacular about that. Wait, hold the phone. Harry Smith has apparently developed swine flu. Good God, holy mackerel. Somebody call Kathleen Sebelius. Get me one of those plastic hamster wheels from The Boy in the Bubble, starring John Travolta. Give me a defibrillator. I'm getting heart palpitations. Suddenly, I don't feel at all well. God, I hope it's not cerebral palsy. Somebody get me a Tylenol.
I accidentally licked the microphone while I was doing that.
That's gross.
You know how many people speak into that?
Yeah, but only one does Tom Brokaw into it, so I think I'm probably safe.
That's all for Tinsel Talk. I'm here all week.
That's the first thing you learn in broadcast school. Don't lick the microphone.
It's tensing as it is.
That's like licking the frozen pole. Don't do that.
I don't normally have my tongue 3 feet outside of my mouth trying to do Tom Brokaw. I'm just saying, I don't know what it is.
If you'd like more Jim Ward, Falderall.
Falderall?
Yes.
Says that Jim Ward's apocryphal, but true. Tom Brokaw makes an appearance there, by the way.
Yes, he does.
At the tile ad there, the Stephanie website, stephaniemiller.com. Go there, buy the album. Thank you.
Perhaps one day Jim will auction off his freshly licked microphone.
I'm going to go to the hospital right now.
Get some Lysol. Get some iodine.
Of course, the big entertainment news, the sad news, Patrick Swayze, of course, passed away yesterday after a long, I loved him. This is chick movies of all time, Ghost and Dirty Dancing. Oh. Do you know how many times I've used making pottery as foreplay? I mean, thank you, Patrick Swayze.
Really?
He passed away yesterday after a long battle with the pancreatic cancer at 57 years old. Oh, Dirty Dancing. I had the time of my life, Patrick. Thank you. And, of course, there was his hit.
Yes.
You remember? It's a Patrick Swayze hit from She's Like the Wind. She's Like the Wind.
Kind of a
long intro.
Cheesy song, but... You know, he wrote it, he sang it, it was a hit. More power to him.
I love you, Patrick Swayze. All right. All right. Men we don't love, Kanye West. He has apologized to Taylor Swift in all caps, so you know he means it.
Yeah.
Because he's a bull in capital letters. The Superficial.com writes, since apologies go back in time and give a 19-year-old girl a chance to redo her first VMA acceptance speech, Kanye West made everything all better by saying sorry to Taylor Swift on his blog in all caps. Pretty much the only thing I took from this apology is that Kanye knows how to Google Taylor Swift lyrics and say they're his favorite, which is impressive considering I assumed he spent most of his time making out with himself in front of a mirror.
Yes. Kanye West also appeared on the debut of the Jay Leno show last night to apologize.
How was that?
Yeah, he apologized. He said it was stupid, period, or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I didn't see the show.
Kelly Clarkson also says Kanye West is a hole.
Yes.
Which seems to be the most commonly used word. Kelly Clarkson blogged on her website, Dear Kanye, what happened to you as a child? Did you not get hugged enough? Something must have happened to make you this way, and I think we're all just curious as to what would make a grown man go on national television and make a talented artist, let alone a teenager, feel like. I mean, I've seen you do some pretty things, but you just keep amazing me with your tactless ass ways. It's absolutely fascinating how much I don't like you. I like everyone. I even like my whole ex that cheated on me over you, which is pretty odd since I don't even personally know you. I'm not even mad at you for being a cool. I just pity you because you're a sad human being. Kelly Clarkson.
I love Kelly Clarkson.
Yeah. Behind these hazel eyes, awesome. Okay, David, oh, fine American David Hinckley in the New York Daily News writes, Sunday night's outburst at the MTV Video Music Awards, where he barged into Taylor Swift's acceptance speech to declare that someone else should have won, was about as inexcusable as it gets. The cold, sober truth is that he has had these tantrums before, and they seem to be getting worse. Maybe he has a whole new disorder. Maybe he has award show turrets. Maybe he spent too much time watching that ancient I Love Lucy episode where the joke is that Lucille Ball has to say whatever's on her mind at the moment she's thinking it. Whatever the reason, it doesn't matter. Because if he can't keep his inner four-year-old under control, he needs a timeout. He can come back when he grows up. Thank you, David Hinckley.
Maybe he needs some vitamin to Benjamin.
Yes. He pops out of parties.
He needs a timeout.
He's unpopular.
Meanwhile, guess who's 40? Scooby-Doo! Scooby-Doo's the 40th anniversary.
Wow.
Of,
mm-hmm. He's as old as I am.
The 40th anniversary of Scooby-Doo and his series, Scooby-Doo, Where Are You? He's 40. Okay. All right.
I was never the biggest fan of Scooby-Doo.
No,
I
wasn't.
It had a laugh track. Cartoons shouldn't have a laugh track.
You're more of a Marmaduke guy.
I wasn't really watching cartoons at that point.
No, I liked classic Tom and Jerry.
Ooh, I hate that.
About
animal torture.
To break out the tiny violin for Oprah, another story about Oprah's demise. Oh, dear.
Uh-oh.
I've been fired by Oprah.
Yes, you have.
I wonder if she can fire herself.
You're fired.
There's lots of stories about her dwindling ratings, although she still is, you know, doing okay, from what I understand.
She's Oprah, for God's sakes.
After a year in which she angered Republicans and Hillary Clinton fans, hello, welcome to my life. And for a year infuriating Christian ones by promoting a New Age religion book, Winfrey has been punished by declining ratings, which fell to a new record low. The average audience of the Oprah Winfrey Show fell under 7 million last season. Oh, me too. I'm right under 7 million now. A 7% slip on the previous year in its fourth straight year of decline. 1 week in July, the daytime show had its lowest ratings since the first one on the air in 1985.
Wow.
Does this mean she'll have to sell her house in Maui?
It's one of them. Maybe the one I was at in Santa Barbara for the Obama party.
I'm sure a lot of people
may have to sell the swamp off separately that we had the party in.
The meadow.
It's a meadow. Sure.
Sure a lot of people watched yesterday, though. I mean, it was the...
Whitney!
Did you
watch it?
I watched it.
How was it?
It was really good. I mean, she opened up about everything.
She says Bobby Brown spit in her face and hit her once.
Yes.
You know, they say he's nasty, but he doesn't give a damn.
No.
She talked about her marriage to Bobby Brown, drug problems, motherhood, mm-hmm. and other hot-button issues.
She even gave a recipe on how to smoke rock cocaine with pot. Yes.
There's a daytime recipe.
Yeah. And she did a little motion with it, too,
watch
and
the,
everything. It
watch
was
the pounds melt away.
Yeah.
Won't someone think of the children? Won't
somebody please think of the children?
Yeah, although a little Ike and Tina in there, she says Bobby Brown slapped her on one occasion, but he got hit on the head three times by me.
Yeah.
Maybe she borrowed Hillary's frying pan.
Yeah, and, you know, he had blood coming down his face. Bobby Christina came down the stairs and said, what happened? I mean, it was an awful thing that she was describing.
Oh, dear.
Yeah.
Well, Mommy, just open a can of whoop-ass on Daddy. Go back upstairs.
Yeah.
All right. Well, good. I'm glad. I hear her new album is fabulous and good for her.
You know what?
Who doesn't love a comeback?
I
interviewed her once 1,000 years ago, you know. When
did
I was
you
a little baby
really?
DJ in New York. Yes. We had to go to her hotel room and get an audience or, I don't know.
Whatever.
Wow.
She was nice. It was a long, long time ago. I made her laugh.
Oh, good.
All right.
That's the only thing that matters to you.
I don't care. Yeah. She laughed at my stupid jokes.
Okay.
20 minutes after the hour.
She was high. She said in the interview yesterday that she did, you know, some drugs just a little bit before the bodyguard, but when the bodyguard came out, that's when she started doing all the drugs.
Okay.
Yep.
I understand Kevin Costner can be difficult, but dear God.
No, you know, the way she rocketed to fame with that one song, I Will Always Love You, she just couldn't handle it.
All
so,
right.
Yeah.
That's me too. All right, 20 minutes after the hour.
After the Stephanie Miller late night talk show rocketed you to fame, you just couldn't handle it either.
You went to 2 glasses of wine.
Yeah.
All right. You know it's a shallow celebrity stack when I got to go to Hugh Hefner for Family Values.
Oh, no.
Right back with that and much more as we continue. And David Schuster from MSNBC coming up on The Stephanie Miller Show.
May cause dizziness, sexual nightmares, and sleep crime.
It's The Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show, 25 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Oh, Hugh Hefner delayed his divorce from his wife for more than 10 years for the sake of their children.
Oh, won't somebody please think of the children?
Jim,
take a page out of his book. He put off banging a new set of twins for nearly 10 years.
Wow.
For the children.
As far as we know.
Meanwhile, as you know, only the straights can have the straight folk can have the family values.
That's right.
Jackie in Santa Cruz with the breaking entertainment news. Hello, Jackie.
Yeah, hi.
Hello.
Hi, guys. You know, I'm really sorry about Elton John and his partner of many years. It's not easy for gay people to adopt. Very often, it's very difficult. And I'm sure that they were celebrating their long marriage, because it is a marriage, mm-hmm. and their happiness. I'm sure they would have been superb parents. But in that country, I believe...
Ukraine. It's illegal for homosexual couples to adopt
right,
in the Ukraine.
You have to be married. And, you know, it's better for a kid to languish in a foster home or in an orphanage to have two loving parents.
Yep.
Absolute nonsense.
Yep. I hear you, so that Hugh Hefner can adopt them. Elton John, about this. Yesterday.
David and I have always talked about adoption, and David has always wanted to adopt a child. And I've always said no, because I am 62, and I think because of the traveling that I do and the life I have, maybe it wouldn't be the fair thing for a child. But after seeing Lev today, I would love to adopt him. I don't know how we do that, but he has stolen my heart.
Here's the one thing where I think he may have gone wrong, and you know, we here at the Stephanie Miller Show, big supporters of the gay rights.
Yes.
He said, I've changed my mind today. He's such a scrumptious thing.
Oh.
Bless his...
Maybe it means something
I'm just saying,
different
when trying, when trying to adopt in a country
no.
that does not particularly care for homosexuals, maybe not the word scrumptious about the boy you're trying. Okay. Anyway,
I never really thought of him as parent material, Elton John.
No, he always seemed a little too self-involved
yeah.
for that.
What? Dave in Atlanta, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show real quick. Hey, Dave.
Good morning, guys. Hi, two quick things. First of all, I just have to gush a little bit on you guys. I'm a relatively new listener and turning into a huge fan of the show.
Oh, thank you.
I'm calling from Atlanta, deep in the South, where it's becoming very lonely to be informed and reasonable. These folks down here love their Glenn Beck.
Oh, joy!
Dave. I just threw up in my mouth a little bit.
All right, if you prefer your news with, you know, facts and stuff in it, MSNBC David Schuster is your man. He'll be on the Celebrity Ha Ha line next on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Nobody did.
Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 33 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12. The phone number toll free from anywhere. If you listen to the show, you know one thing, and that is that I love my Dick Graham. The Dick
yeah,
Army.
You, are, huh?
hmm? You know, the Dick Army missives that he sends out.
Are they really called Dick Grahams?
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
He writes about the less than a million loon march this weekend. Some media reports have gone as high as 2 million. That's the one they lied about, that they said ABC News said that ABC News never said that. While some liberal pundits, like David Schuster, have thrown out insultingly low estimates, or under 50,000. Oh, my gosh. And there might be facts mixed in with that accident. What? Who is it, Chris?
MSNBC's David Schuster.
What are the odds?
Wow.
You must be so proud. Did you frame this and send this to your parents?
No, I mean, they've got so much of this stuff from the right, I think they just sort of ignored it at this point. For their own sanity.
This is hilarious, isn't it? So they misquote ABC News as saying there's 2 million people there, right?
Yeah, I mean, somebody stood up at the rally and claimed that ABC News said that there are 2 million. ABC never said it. Their affiliates never said it. But the other thing that's just breathtaking is that, I mean, you cannot physically fit 2 million people right. in the little amount of space where the people were filled up on the mall. I mean, it's basically a couple blocks west of the Capitol to 3rd Street.
Right.
And that's, they filled it up, and so that's what led park police, that led most of us to say, okay, let's be generous. Let's give them 50,000, maybe 60,000, maybe 70,000 if they're really jammed in tight, although it didn't seem like they were jammed in tight into that space.
Right.
Now, if you compare that and you go west another, you know, 13 blocks to the Washington Monument, and that entire area was jam-packed during the inauguration, and the inauguration crowd was 1.8 million. So you can use basic deductions
right.
to realize they didn't have 2 million. They didn't have a million
right.
and a half. They didn't have a million. They didn't have 500,000.
Right, and I was... You know, right, I was there for the inauguration, David, and all of us saw those, you know, pictures. And remember, you could do that. There was that one cool thing where you could find yourself at the inauguration. But
yeah.
you know, that wasn't green screen. That wasn't Forrest Gump. That, you know.
Yeah, and the bottom line, I think, look, everyone's entitled to their own opinion and their own, you know, free speech delusions if they want. If they want to speak out and make claims, that's fine. But the problem is that for all the whack jobs and the lunatics who were part of the crowd, and I think you only have to look at some of the signs to see that there were some of those, I think there were some legitimate concerns, some people who, you know, are confused about what's going on. And the problem is that when organizers of a rally like this make up these wild claims, it becomes almost impossible to take anything else that anybody at the rally says that they may be serious about or that is part of the national discussion and should be. And it just, I mean, I just think it's a bad thing for our country. It's a bad thing for the Republican Party. And it's a bad thing for the honest people who were out there Saturday to have their leaders lying about what was going on.
Well, I mean, that's the difference, isn't it? Is that, you know, at least in my lifetime, I haven't seen, you know, this lunatic fringe, like obviously, like, as you say, some of those people are mixing in with the actual congressmen and senators and other people, Republicans that were there. They embrace it.
I think that's the other problem, is that I think, look, if you or I went to a rally for anything that we really cared about, suppose it was, you know, school board or whatever it was, and somebody held up a sign that was embarrassing to all of us who were part of that rally, we would say, I think you and I would say, hey, take that sign down. That doesn't belong here. And yet, with all of the crazy, horrific, racist signs that were out there, not a single, at least from what I could tell, not a single leader said, that is not what this movement is about. And so implicitly, they green-light this stuff by not saying anything. And it's a shame on all of them.
Mm-hmm. Well, of course, as you know, Fox News reporting, there was not even a hint of racism at the rally. I mean, you know, you can't deny, like you say, David, we all have eyes. We saw some of the signs.
Yeah, I mean, look, it wasn't just people who were writing the signs themselves. I mean, there was a horrific sign that said, bury Obamacare like Kennedy. That wasn't handwritten. That was a manufactured sign that required a printing press and all the stuff mass produced. And that was done apparently by a Right to Life organization, and they passed out hundreds of those. I mean, who could think of being that insensitive and that classless? And yet, it wasn't just one person. There are hundreds of people who embraced mm-hmm. it and held up the sign.
Mm-hmm. A lot of Joe Wilson for President signs, as you know. You know, the House today obviously is putting forward probably this resolution. I mean, this is how low we've gotten, where he can't even go to the House floor and apologize. There's a new poll out showing 85% of Americans thought this was, inappropriate.
Yeah, you know, yeah. I mean, it's, look, and we've had members of Congress who defend Joe Wilson. They say, oh, look, Joe Wilson is a genteel guy. This isn't really him. And if that's the case, if he's a really upstanding, genteel guy, then he'll realize that what he did was a mistake and that he owes the apology not just to the White House, and he apologized to the White House, but he owes it to his colleagues for embarrassing the chamber, for embarrassing the House and the Senate. I mean, the president was a visitor to their chamber, and this is how the president gets treated. I mean, if any congressman had their floor speech interrupted, there would be a resolution of censure like that, or the person would be forced to apologize. I just think the same rules don't apply. And the danger is that if you enable this kind of thing, which
right.
is what happens when you vote against this sort of resolution, if you enable it,
it's
say,
precedent.
No, it's okay. Yeah, and it sets the precedent so that this can happen again and again, and that is bad for the House. It is bad for both parties.
Well, I have to ask you what, you know, because you've been reporting on Washington for a long time. What was your reaction when this happened? I mean, I, you know, as many people that have been in the body all their lives, they've never seen this happen.
You know, I was astounded and horrified, not by the boos, and to be very clear, there are boos in presidential speeches. I can remember the cackling when George W. Bush was talking about private diet and Social Security and the Democratic boos. And look, that's part of what happens. But for somebody to actually scream out, you lie, to scream out a solo voice, to yell it out, that took it to a level that is unprecedented. In all the years that I've been covering Congress, talking with people, members of both sides who have been in Congress for 40, 50 years, they have never seen something that disrespectful and that classless.
Well, David, exactly. But I think it's not, the new low is almost at this point now not even the fact that he did it, but the fact that he will not go to the House floor to apologize, and it's made him a hero in right-wing circles, and he's fundraising on it.
Yeah, it was like a train wreck that just kept getting worse. I mean, I was astounded when he did it. I was more astounded when the reports came out that night, Wednesday night, that the Republican leaders had asked him to apologize and that he didn't think of doing it on his own. And then I was more astounded when he apologizes, and the next day says, oh, but, essentially the Republicans asked me to do it, and I did. In other words, no personal remorse. He was only remorseful that his party was mad at him. And it just keeps getting worse and worse.
Well, it's like the whole party, David, is becoming like a four-year-old having a tantrum. Like any parent can recognize, how do you raise your kids watching this and say,
maybe the broader lesson is this is what happens when you have children who don't have parents. And I think that's, perhaps the best analogy for the Republican Party right now. There is no clear leader. There's no clear moral voice in the Republican Party. And so what happens is the unruly kids, they're the ones who are running around the classroom throwing the toys, and all the kids who are well-behaved are intimidated and are cowering in the corner. And there's no adult supervision in the Republican Party right now. Mm-hmm. And this vacuum is being filled by a lot of these nutcases.
Mm-hmm. David, obviously you've seen, some of the latest polling, obviously the president's poll numbers and the, for health care reform are going up in the wake of this speech. So what do you think happens now?
Look, it gets complicated. And by the way, I don't want to imply, just in my last statement, by nutcases, I'm referring to members of Congress. I think by nutcases, I think we can all agree that some of the people holding signs, I don't know, right. Congressman Wilson personally, I don't know what his psychological balance is or not. I just think what he did was rude. But as far as the president's approval ratings, it was a solid speech. It appealed, I think, to people on both sides of the aisle, but most importantly, it appealed to independents, the people who are maybe only now just tuning in or trying to sort out what it all means now that we're in crunch time with the votes. I think independents are drifting more and more towards the idea that, look, yes, there is a benefit in bringing in the for-profit health insurance companies and making sure that people don't get cut off because of pre-existing conditions, and by trying to figure out what to do with runaway costs. I mean, the costs have doubled in 10 years. They're going to double in the next 5 to 6 years. That's something I think everybody is acknowledging we have to do something about. And to the extent that President Obama has now been able to say, look, we have to do something, and here's a way we can get control of this, I get the sense that more and more people in the middle of this country are starting to drift towards that. And that should inevitably put some pressure on some of the centrist Democrats and some of the centrist Republicans. They've got to get something done. They have to take some action. The American people are demanding it. And the more you see these polls, like the physician poll from the New England Journal of Medicine, mm-hmm. that said that 73% of doctors want either a public option or something stronger, like a yep. single payer, the message then goes out that this has to get done.
Yep. I was saying I was on vacation in Utah and, heard a couple of these, people like repeating basically right-wing Fox News talking points, and I sat down and actually talked to them, and that was one of them. They're like, doctors are all against this. The doctors don't like it. I'm like, well, that's not true. Just because Sean Hannity said that, that's not true. So,
There are doctors, I suppose, just like anything, there are doctors sure. who, I suppose, they went into medicine just to make as much money as they could. But most of the doctors I know went in because they want to practice medicine, practice science, and treat people. They're not really into it because they want to be multimillionaires. And those are the physicians, I think, who sort of get the system is broken. They can't continue to have the sort of practices and have to answer to the for-profit insurance companies the way they do right now.
Yep, absolutely. The new poll you're talking about, most U.S. doctors favor having both public and private options in a reformed healthcare system. This is a new survey out. 63% support a mix of public and private. So, yeah, I think, like you say, we're getting to crunch time. So, fingers crossed. David Schuster, we love you.
Stephanie, we love you, too. It's always a pleasure being on. And and if anybody was offended by anything that I said, too bad.
Yes. All right.
Listen, David, I agree with you. Beyonce did have the best video of the year. Let's try not to get hysterical here.
Wasn't that amazing? I think we're... I thought though Beyonce was she showed so much class.
She did,
didn't she?
And we could all take a lesson from her.
Yes.
Yeah,
myself included.
Absolutely, and thank God she didn't foot fault on the way to the stage, because that's the other big.
That would have been a good
We're becoming a nation of angry outbursts, aren't we, David?
Well, yeah, and some of us actually probably had a role in that, so that's how it goes, unfortunately. So.
We love you in both an appropriate way and an inappropriate way that would be we would be censured by the House if we were in Congress. So we appreciate.
Sounds good. Thanks.
Thank you, David.
Good to be on with you. Take care.
You too, sir. There he goes, David Schuster from MSNBC. We'll be right back. 44 minutes.
You made him laugh.
Yeah. 44 minutes. More on the teabaggers as a, what did they call him? Oh, liberal pundit. That's what they call a real journalist.
Mm-hmm.
That's what Dick Armey calls real journalist, liberal pundit David Schuster, as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Coming up after this commercial, I will be talking even louder.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
Yow. It is the Stephanie Miller Show, 49 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-1-2, the phone number. Pamela in Phoenix, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show on healthcare. Hello, Pamela.
Yes, Stephanie. First, let me say I'm one of what I know and I believe I know, are many thinking people who are solidly behind President Obama.
Mm-hmm.
That speech to Wall Street yesterday was so cogent and absolutely replete with intelligent reason, ideas, and information, but he was preaching to the choir. Do we really think any of the nutcases were listening? No, they're going to wait for Hannity to give them the next lie to rally around.
Mm-hmm.
Why are we still hoping to use logic to convince people who will not listen? They're truly haters. I'm surrounded by them here in my my retirement community.
Mm-hmm.
One of my neighbors flew his flag at half staff for months after the election. I had my property damaged when I posted my Obama signs. So why does it seem that the president doesn't realize he'll never bring these people to the table on health care or anything else?
Mm-hmm.
When I call McCain's office to support the president and they politely blow me off, I wonder why we can't do the same to them.
Mm.
Pass health care with the public option and fine-tune it as we go and stop trying to bring any of them to the table. If they can carry a sign like bury Obamacare with Kennedy that's so abhorrent, why do we even think, Steph, that we can bring them? You know what gives me hope?
What's that?
What gives me hope? You, Oberman, and my 102-year-old neighbor.
Oh, dear.
She is absolutely rabid that this needs to go. And she, I get such inspiration from her. So I know that there are thinking people my age and above.
Well, and you're right. And you know, a lot of the polling, it shows older people absolutely have, you know, the Republicans have succeeded in scaring a lot of them. They are, you know, opposing a lot of the president's plan. But you're right. You know, that to me is abhorrent because, you know, it's easy to scare older people about losing Medicare and whatever. And it just it's the tactic they run every single time. Let's see. Lots of the new polls. CNN had them at almost a 60, back up at a 60% approval rating. This other one, I think this is a Washington Post, 54% approval rating. I mean, you know, all of them are showing his ratings coming up after the speech. Here's the bad news, Jim. This is something you always say.
Yes.
People want Democrats to pass health care. That's why they voted them in, and it's because you keep saying they're not, you know, it's the whole they're being too liberal. They're not being liberal enough.
Exactly.
Pass real health care reform. Stop being such weenies, and you'll see your numbers go back up, just like the president's.
But the Republicans might call us names. They're going to do that anyway. Let's get it done.
They should all be issued T-shirts that say 51 on there.
Yeah, 51 votes. Yeah. I know. What was a 56% to 30% advantage for Democrats in terms of public trust on the major issues facing the nation has slipped to 48% to 28%. So, you know, they're losing ground, too, mostly because they're being big weenies. When it comes to the tone of the debate, about half say both sides are equally at fault. This is what happens when, you know, the Republicans drag you down with them. Then people go, oh, Congress, they're a bunch of boobs. They can't get anything done.
Yeah.
About twice as many, they'll place primary culpability with the GOP as they do with the Democrats. So, you know, that's the other thing, Democrats. People get it. They see the Republicans are being obstructionist tools, and they're not going to agree to anything. So just get it done, you know, and get it done in a way that's going to work. I mean, I think a lot of the people there know it's not going to work without a strong public option of some kind.
You need leverage to make the insurance companies behave.
Yeah. All right, let's go to Gabe in Chicago on our good friend Sean Hannity. Hello, Gabe.
Hey, Mama.
Hi, go ahead.
It's my first time.
Go ahead.
I was listening to Sean Hannity last night. And
sorry.
This woman, yeah, I know. This woman calls up, and they're talking about Kanye West. And we can all agree Kanye West is a jackass. That's fine. But this woman says, Kanye West and everyone like him are exactly what's wrong with this great country. and we should just put him on a boat and send him somewhere.
Oh, that's an unfortunate reference, isn't it?
Whoa! And Hannity completely glazed over it. Didn't stop, didn't stutter, nothing. Just kept talking about, and then he started talking about...
And didn't seem to mention, just for fairness, the fact that Joe Wilson is also a stick of the white variety.
Yes.
All right, let's go to Neil in Casper, Wyoming. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome, Neil. Hello, Neil.
Steph, we may never all agree on the number of people who attended the rally last Saturday, but surely we can all agree that this was the largest Klan gathering ever.
Yes, without hoods for a change.
Here's the what I was saying. I mentioned earlier that what's her name, Esmeralda, you know, the Senator Ghostly that made all the pandemic flu funding disappear magically. You know, that's what we're spending all our time trying to maybe get one of the most moderate senators, like her and what's her name, Snow.
Yeah.
And she just said the other day she's not even going to vote for a trigger on the public option. It's
all right.
Like,
screw them. Get rid of them.
Yeah.
51 votes.
The left versus right battles that dominate American politics and President Obama has sought desperately to avoid, ironically, elected on completely the opposite kind of platform,
yep,
are about to move center stage. But here's the problem with, you know, this kind of bipartisanship is that, you know, they, a lot of times, like, people are saying we're just capitulating to all these screamers when, mm-hmm, you know, Democrats in the House went out of their way to include a passage in their bill to explicitly bar illegal immigrants from receiving any health care benefits established in the bill. Now, because of idiots like Joe Wilson, Democrats are scrambling to, we better make something sound even... And even worse. So the problem, and this has always been the case, there are pre-existing loopholes that make it difficult to prevent illegal immigrants from receiving emergency treatment under Medicaid.
Mm-hmm.
The Senate Finance Committee is looking to create a verification system that would bar illegal immigrants from receiving any benefits under these programs. The bipartisan group of six senators also weighing a five-year delay on benefits for legal immigrants, which Chuck Grassley wants. The White House position is that illegal immigrants will be barred from buying insurance in the exchange, and the verification system could mirror one currently used for government entitlement programs. Legal immigrants should be able to participate in the exchange,
mm-hmm,
according to the White House. It sounds reasonable.
Sure.
But one pundit said the Senate Republicans and Democrats, the Gang of Six, are just folding in the face of one heckler. I mean,
yeah,
this is what they're doing, you know.
What if some of these illegal immigrants that people are always hiring to do their gardening and paint their houses has an infectious disease? Are you going to deny them medical care?
Right.
I mean, that means everyone else is going to get sick, too. I don't know. Right.
Well, that's what I'm saying. It's just we're bending ourselves into pretzels trying to negotiate with people. And it's stuff like that that is explicitly already in the bill. And just because Joe Wilson screamed something, now we're going, oh, now we have to spend our time. We better
make it sound even more harsh.
Oh, no.
Just kill all of them. Shoot them at the border. Is that good enough for you?
No, still not good enough.
Okay. Should we start bombing Mexico? Would that make you happy?
No! More! I need more!
One of the teabaggers, the organizers, Mark Williams, on the team.
Part of America is that there are people who are bigoted. And,
really?
You know, you're never going to convince them not to be. You don't have to embrace them, but in this country, you can't shut them up either.
I see. Or you could actively encourage them and foment it, like the people on Fox News do and on right-wing radio. I see. Uh-huh. And then
if they're there, you have to film them and record everything they have to say.
Yeah.
And make sure everybody sees it.
And they just magically materialized, as you know, Jim, in Washington.
With
it was
no
just a grassroots uprising.
Decrying the racism.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Yeah.
What a dumb country. My God. Do they have arguments like this?
We apologize,
countries?
America.
I don't, what? Huh?
All right, 57 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
I'm It is the Stephanie Miller Show, 6 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-1-2, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. StephanieMiller.com, the website. Check it out. You can email us all there. Executive producer Chris Lavoie-Voice, Deity Jim Warren, or me, Stephanie Miller. The president giving Wall Street a little can of whoop-ass yesterday.
And it's about time to ensure that large firms can't take risks that threaten our entire financial system, and to make sure that they have the resources to weather even the worst of economic storms.
And Senator Max Baucus, Democrat of Montana, says the Senate is getting close. Are they saying as soon as tomorrow they might have a...
Quite possibly. They might have something to show.
...proposal tomorrow out of his committee.
I think, basically, as senators, on and off the committee and the public start... begins to know more about all this, their comfort level starting to come up a bit, and I believe that strongly, and I do believe that in the end we'll have significant bipartisan support.
I don't think about
computer says no.
So much about bipartisan support. However, the president's poll numbers up as we've been reporting, along with the support for health care reform. So we'll see.
Mm-hmm.
Unless, of course, you were one of the nutcases at the less than a million loon march in Washington over the weekend.
Way less than a million.
Or as Britt Hume called them, ordinary people.
All the indications that we have are that these are everyday Americans who are very angry and upset with the Obama agenda as they've come to experience it. Uh-huh. A lot of them weren't for him in the first place, but some of them were.
Uh-huh.
Right.
Yeah. Okay.
You're lying.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Going
on.
That propaganda.
You're a lying, scheming, stinking, nasty sack of liquid crap.
I suddenly noticed it was black. And that shocked the hell out of them.
Yeah, I bet you there's a lot of Obama voters there.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. Okay, Barry writes, staff, love your show, love Jim Ward, Hal Sparks, love, but I may have to mitigate my affections. On the way home today, my unbelievably adorable 4-year-old daughter started singing.
You are your sack of crap, you are your sack of crap, I am steamy, sticky, messy, sack of wicked crap.
We signed a Bad Daddy in Chicago.
Oh, okay. Boy.
All right. Oh, a fine young little American. Julie, another fine American, writes, Mama, Rasmussen is a right-wing tool pollster organization if ever there was one. But even they had to admit, as Chris always says, it's working. But in a good way.
Mm.
Support for health care reform plan proposed by President Obama and congressional Democrats continues to grow following the president's speech to Congress last Wednesday night. In the Rasmussen poll, 51% voters now favor the plan, while 46% are opposed. Support for the plan fell over the summer, reached a point where 53% of voters opposed it. However, in the days following the president's speech, support for the plan has been moving up on a fairly consistent basis. 55% now say health care reform is at least somewhat likely to pass this year. That is the highest total yet. Thank you, Rasmussen, right-wing tool polling organization.
Mm-hmm.
Let's go to Kelly in Ventura on the nuclear option. Hello, Kelly.
Good morning.
Good morning. Go ahead.
Well, it's just you just said it. There's something that when the Republicans had control of both the House and the Senate, that they threatened to invoke. And if there is any time to use it, why not? The nuclear option would get health care passed, and there would be nothing the Republicans could do to stop it.
Well, you know, this is what I was saying. Howard Dean was talking about on Meet the Press. It's 51 votes. People keep saying 60. Reconciliation is 51 votes, and you could get, health care done. So, I don't know. I still think as much as we've been talking about this, Kelly, I still don't think we know what's going to happen or what they're going to do. But I think that we got to keep, like as a listener said earlier, keep speaking out on behalf of the public option, among other things. Richard in Austin, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome, Richard.
Hello, how are you?
Good, go ahead.
My comment is that if they do go ahead and go through and censure Joe Wilson, the Glenn Beck, Sean Hannity's Rush Limbaughs of the world are going to hold it up and martyr him and say, see what happens to the dissent, and their next thing you're going to hear
that's
is
not
Glenn
dissent.
Beck said,
speaking of polls, Richard, 85% of Americans think it was totally inappropriate what Joe Wilson did.
Well, Glenn Beck's going to be on there saying, going to be at his magic chalkboard tonight, and he's going to be saying, see what happens, and they're going to start coming after you next.
I agree. I think we should just move on. I think we should just totally
I disagree. I think it creates a precedent. Don't you, Richard? I mean, how can you say that's okay?
I'm not saying it's okay. I'm just saying I do think some action needs to be taken, but I think that they need to be prepared for the backlash that's going to happen, because Glenn Beck, unfortunately, my friends are big fans of him, and I sit there during the whole show yelling at the TV every time he makes a misstatement. Mm-hmm. He's claiming the Apollo Project wrote the stimulus bill when it was written in Congress, and people eat this stuff up, and it's just ludicrous to me.
Yep, absolutely.
It'll galvanize the right around something. It'll galvanize the right around supporting Joe Wilson.
Because, as you know, I'm a fan of the sideshows, according to Michael Steele.
And I think it's because they don't want an apology. What they want is a sideshow.
Mm-hmm. Actually, what they asked for is an apology, and that would have been fine. If you wouldn't go to the House floor and apologize, then, you know,
he apologized to the president. I think that's enough.
Oh, I disagree. You're being right-wing Tooley just to annoy me.
No, it doesn't mean he's not a hole, but I just think we don't need to give the right something to crystallize around. That's just, you know,
yeah,
like I'm playing chess here, not playing checkers.
Like the right needs anything to crystallize around. They've got their Bernard Goldbergs on the O'Reilly shows of the world talking about this ridiculous less than a million loon march this weekend.
More and more, as criticism increases against President Obama's policies, more and more we're going to hear people who are critics called racists. And you know what? I'm sick of it. And a lot of people watching us right now are sick of it. In a country of 320 million, are there some racists? Yes. Mm. But a lot of liberals, an awful lot of liberals, who supposedly don't want to see race in anything, they love the fact that Barack Obama is a black man because, in addition to the historical significance, because any time you criticize his policies, you run the risk of being called by them a racist.
No, if you carry around racist signs,
yes,
that's when you're called a racist.
When you carry a Confederate flag and a sign that says, go back to Africa, that would, Nobody's calling people who disagree with his policies racist. We're calling the people that are racists at these rallies racists. Okay. Sue in Rockville, Maryland.
Are you okay?
I'm fine now.
Okay.
Sue, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
Hello.
Hello.
I think that this apology is not needed, and that I think Obama handled himself very well, took care of it. But I really wish that we had more like a parliamentary system where people could express what they thought at the time. And I remember during the other regimes, I would be sitting at home yelling liar, liar on the TV, and the congressmen were sitting on their hands. And I would want them to speak up like they do in Britain.
Oh, you want us to be able to yell
like
insults at each other?
Yeah, we should have started out during the last week.
I think that's the only time American people really watch Congress. I don't think a lot of them watch C-SPAN. I never knew anybody that did, but I did. But,
so you would like more insults in presidential speeches?
Well, you know, I think if they yell out liar and the guy is really lying, he's going to have a hard time defending himself. But if he's not lying...
Yeah, well, George Bush could never have gotten three words through a speech if that were allowed when George Bush were president. I see what you've started now, Chris?
What'd I start?
People going, oh, it's fine. Let's have more of it. Sue in Rockville, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
Hey, good morning. I'm surprised you guys haven't been talking about the phony photo that they've been circulating. I think Malkin, La Malkin was the first one to do it. And clearly the picture, which tried to show people all over the mall, was at least 5 years old because it was before the Museum of the American Indian was actually on the mall.
Ah, okay.
And it's hilarious because...
And by the way, here's how they can't put in a phony picture of the inauguration. There's black people at the inauguration.
Well, besides that, but the vantage point was wrong where they were marching for. They were on 3rd Street. This was a shot of 14th Street. But more importantly, with the Museum of the American Indian missing, it was hilarious because some people would kind of think they were like the real first Americans.
Right.
Right.
Yeah. Silly them.
Seth?
Yes.
The other thing, do you think these idiots know that Russia is no longer a communist country?
But every time
they go to Walmart, they are supporting a communist
country? Yeah, do you love that sign? Is this Russia? No, you moron, and neither is Russia.
Yeah,
exactly. Thank you, honey. Let's go to Julie in Sacramento. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome, Jules.
Good morning, Stephanie and the Moose.
Good morning.
I wanted to say that Medicare and Medicaid are the dumping grounds for the insurance companies, and I would like, you know, after they've sucked all the poor policy owners' blood, they just dump them in there. I'd like to see some kind of insurance that would force the insurance companies to pay for Medicare and Medicaid.
Mm-hmm. Yep, I hear you. Okay, let's go to David in Coral Gables, Florida. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome, Dave.
Hi, Steph.
Hi.
I listened. I've been haranguing senators for months. I've been very involved in this for a long time. As my insurance has gone up almost 500% in the last 5 years, so you really kind of get a grip on that. You know, $1,200 a month to Blue Cross Blue Shield. So when I call these congressmen and senators and their staff, I say, I have the same insurance you do, but I guess I pay more than you do.
Yep. Listen, and, I've been mentioning one friend that's really young and healthy. Premiums keep going up every. I mean, I don't even know how often, but you know, and again, why? Because they can.
Right. I went from a Cobra to single coverage, and that's when it went from 300 to 800, and it's gone up steady 25% or better a year since then. So I have a lot to look forward to at 58 years old, but I'm young and good looking for my age. So
well,
anyway, but I have been haranguing one specific senator who I've known for 25 years, and he tells me they don't have 50 votes, and that's the problem. Everybody keeps talking.
They don't have 50 votes for what?
They don't.
Public option.
Public option. No, they don't have 50 votes. I've been beating on Nelson down here in Florida continually, and, you know, and I mean, I got to keep it clean, but, I mean, I've been very upset with him because he said, well, you know, we won't pass the bill of public option. So I talked to his staff. He says, well, he just doesn't think it can voted in. I said, well, that's kind of a lukewarm, what doesn't he say he hopes it instead of saying it won't? I mean, these guys get so much money from the insurance company. I mean, the big pharma and insurance are so powerful. I mean, I have friends who are doctors, and they are furious. I mean, one friend of mine is a doctor. She's a surgeon, and she's really pissed at Obama. And hey, he needs to get the doctors on his side, and then he can really do this. And it's
we just read this new survey earlier that says the vast majority of doctors surveyed want a mix of public and private option.
Well, they do. I mean, but here's the thing. He talked about, you know, and you hear all this all over the news. You know, amputation, you know, a foot amputation will cost, you know, $20,000. Well, the surgeon gets like $300. They get like $140 for a gallbladder. I mean, they got to learn how to do this, and they got to stick a knife in you and let you live. And they're not getting paid very much money.
Well, that's the insurance company pays Medicare or less. That's exactly it. Actually, the doctor that called in, he made the case badly, but that's the whole point that we were trying to make. Mm-hmm. It's the whole system that's out of control.
Yes.
It's not just the doctor's fees. By the time you get through everything, hospital costs, anesthesia, all that, you know, if you're a... And you need anesthesia, but you know what I'm saying.
Yeah.
20 minutes after the hour, back with the president's ass-whooping of Wall Street as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
That laughter sounds like the result of misbehavior.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller. Won't you take me to Funky Town? Won't you take me to
Funky Town? It is the Stephanie Miller Show, 24 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Bert in Chicago is mad at Chris, and who isn't? Hello, Bert.
Hi, Mama. Here we are. We're feeling good about the tide turning for health care reform, and then all of a sudden, surtuliness rears its ugly head.
About what? Oh, the resolution, yeah.
No, Chris is wrong. Wilson did not apologize to the president. He called and said that the leadership told him to call.
Yeah.
He is not contrite. He is not apologetic.
Yeah, that was the you know, and he's fundraising on it, Bert. It was the biggest non-apology I've ever heard.
You know what? I'm seeing Google ads paid for by Joe Wilson for Congress on left-wing blogs early this morning.
Yep.
I mean, he's not contrite. He's not apologizing.
Yep. And like I'm saying, to me, this is he sets a bipartisan precedent that you just can't have in America, in my opinion.
Absolutely.
And 85% of Americans, this CNN poll agree with me.
And the thing is that he's embarrassed the people of South Carolina. That's why Clyburn is the one who's spearheading this this admonishment in
yeah.
the House right
yeah.
now.
Yeah. Well, and the other thing, but it's not like this stops health care reform. They're working on this. You know, hopefully Max Baucus will have a bill out of his committee tomorrow.
But that's the Senate. That's not the House.
This is saying in the United States, if we have a Republican president next time, this is not okay. Let's go to Amy in Iowa. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
Hey, you guys.
Hello.
I just want you to know, first of all, that this teaching job that I have totally interferes with my Stephanie time.
I know. Sucks.
If I was
Sucks.
Only independently wealthy. First thing, I do have a question and a comment. My question is, and I hate to go way back, but the Kennedy funeral.
Yes.
Was it just me, or were you completely amused? You know, the part at the end of the Mass where the priest took the incense and swung the... You know what I'm talking about? When
yes.
they were incensing the body and stuff?
Yes.
Did you see George W.? The gears were just grinding. You could just see. It was like, what are you doing? Some kind of voodoo over there? What are y'all doing? So I just thought that was...
Yes. I did 12 years hard time in Catholic school, so I'm familiar with the incense ball.
Oh, dear God. Well, my main comment is, actually... the problem that I have is the fact that, you know, not only, I think, is Obama a little bit naive to think that he's going to be able to deal fairly and honestly with the Republicans, but frankly, he's also vastly overestimating the average of the intelligence of the average American, because frankly, the average American is a knuckle dragger who couldn't find his behind with both hands and a map and a shovel.
All right. Thank you, Amy.
Oh, dear.
By the way, Jim, we have a very timely guest to quote. This is some advice for the president on regarding health care and Wall Street regulation. Be nice until it's time to not be nice. Who said that?
Huh? Osama bin Laden.
No. Mm-hmm. Patrick Swayze's character in Roadhouse.
Oh, right.
Remember before the big bar rumble?
Yeah.
I didn't see that. That was a
oh,
boy
I saw
movie.
That one. Yeah, I that's saw, definitely a guy movie.
I only saw the chick flicks. I only saw the Ghost and the Dirty Dancing. I didn't see the Roadhouse.
Sam Elliott kicks out somebody's knee and says, boy, that's smart, doesn't it? Love that.
Be nice. Until it's time to not be nice. The late, great Patrick Swayze. Little advice for the president.
He was also in Too Long Fu, Thanks for Everything, Julie Newmar, as a drag queen.
I know it.
Didn't see that.
I prefer the chick flick.
Not a guy.
At which I had the time of my life.
Right, yeah.
All right. Tim in Illinois, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
Hi, Stephanie. How are you this
Good,
morning?
Go ahead.
Hey, did anybody realize that this guy is in the military? Is he reservist or a
yes.
guardsman?
Yes, Joe Wilson.
Yeah, yeah. And it's like, being that, isn't there some kind of like military tribunal thing that they could charge him for?
No, because he retired in 2003.
Oh, he retired
yeah.
in 2003. Oh,
yeah.
Okay. Okay.
So he's
I
not active duty.
Now. I
yeah.
understand now. And I agree with a lot of people that have been been speaking out. You know, I have two words for the Republicans, and it's not let's dance.
Okay.
No. You know, and
I got it. I got it. Don't go all Kanye West on me. All right. Amanda Turkle, Deputy Research Director for Center for American Progress, on all the news that's fit out of Washington, D.C. as we continue on The Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
I can be a real serious bitch if I don't get what I want.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 33 minutes after the hour. Why, it's the most entertaining thing since we heard that they're making a movie out of the game Battleship.
Oh, God. Yeah, they now have director Peter Berg.
That ought to be fun. 2 hours of
D4.
C12.
Miss.
Q17.
Oh, you sunk my battleship.
I don't think there's a Q. And Battleship.
Oh, probably not.
Oh, well, that's the important thing.
Yeah.
By the way, Defamer writes, Jay Leno show as bad as you thought.
Yeah.
Oh, come on. It got good ratings.
It's on though. Too late for me, so I didn't watch it.
I didn't see it either.
Yeah.
Because we go to bed at...
At stupid o'clock.
And get up at...
Insane o'clock.
That's why we have experts on that know that something about something. What? Who is it, Christopher?
It's the Deputy Research Director from the Center for American Progress, Amanda Turkle.
She's fancy. Good morning, Amanda.
Hi, good morning.
How are you?
Great.
Good. What is your sense? So, you know, the polling obviously looking good today for the president. Obviously, his numbers up, the support for health care reform up. Do you think we're actually moving in this debate?
I mean, I hope so. Well, there's actually another poll out today showing that three-quarters of doctors actually support some form of the public plan. So, I mean, maybe it seems that the right-wing sort of scaremongering isn't catching on as much.
Yeah, yeah, check this out. This doctor's poll you're talking about, 63% overall support a public option, 10% support single-payer, which equals 73% actually support a public plan of some sort. So that's pretty huge, huh?
I mean, that's definitely huge. There are, you know, supposedly public options would put a bureaucrat between the patient and the doctor, but doctors don't seem to think so.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Well, I mean, it's hard to tell, isn't it, Amanda, when, you know, you're watching these inner workings and Max Baucus says they're getting closer and he may have something tomorrow. And, are we going to get something done? Is it going to have a public option? Tom Harkin says, yes, absolutely, the final bill is going to have a public option. What do you think?
I mean, it's really hard to tell. I think the question isn't, are we going to get health care reform? I think we will. The question is, what is it going to look like and how strong is it going to be? And, I mean, it just depends on who you talk to. A lot of House members are still saying that they will not go forward without a public option. Other people, especially in the Senate, are saying it isn't viable without one. So it's very confusing, especially people who aren't following the debate and who aren't in Washington.
Well, you know, it's interesting. We had a congressman on this morning that, you know, was saying, look, the other thing is there's too much focus on the Senate Finance Committee's bill. There's a bunch of bills, including a few in the House. And then you have Lindsey Graham say, oh, it doesn't matter what the House does. Like, they're just completely, they might as well be playing Scrabble. I mean, you know, obviously at some point they're going to have to blend all of them, right?
They absolutely will, and I agree. We should not be paying. I mean, there are other bills out there besides the Senate Finance Committee. There are more members of Congress besides just those gang of six members. And it's important to realize that there are, you know, more progressive positions out there.
Yeah, well, absolutely. Amanda, so what do you make of the president's speech to Wall Street? I mean, it seems to me that it's interesting. There's kind of a theme running here that, you know, Wall Street didn't do any better regulating itself than the private health insurance industry is doing, did they?
I mean, no, and it's good that, you know, Obama, I think a lot of people have pushed aside the economy, economic issues, and, you know, it's good that Obama brought them back into the forefront and said, like, look, this isn't over. The economy, we're still trying to get it back, and, you know, we need to keep paying attention to this.
Well, right, and I think he talked about, you know, the American people, you know, shouldered, obviously, the burden of the bailouts. I think he's sensitive to
they
that.
They shouldered the burden of the bailout. And they are still bearing the burden of the fallout in lost jobs and lost homes and lost opportunities.
So, you know, I think that's what, you know, he's always tried to say, and that's I think, true, isn't it, according to most experts, that we have pulled ourselves back from the brink of a second Great Depression, but we're not there yet.
Yeah, I think that's true. And also, besides about the stimulus package, we hear a lot of conservatives saying, you know, where are the jobs? I'm not seeing any jobs. But, you know, we are seeing studies, we are seeing analyses showing that it actually is helping the economy recover. And without things like the stimulus and the bailouts, we'd be in a much worse place.
What do you think of the big, what do you call them? I'm not sure what to call them. The protests of something in Washington this weekend.
the 9/12 March, I guess.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. To me, a lot of kind of blatant racism there, didn't you think?
Absolutely. I mean, we sent some people to the march to cover it. They came back with a lot of pictures. They came back with interviews. And, you know, we talked to one person who said that he was sure Obama was trying to oppress white America. He said he was a big Glenn Beck fan. We saw signs that, you know, we saw Confederate flags. We saw a sign that said, you know, what's the difference between the zoo and the White House? One has an African lion and the other has a lion African. And so, I mean, there was quite a bit of that.
Mm-hmm. I know. Well, I mean, that's like, you know, you look at today, this, I want to get your take on the resolution against Joe Congressman Wilson. We have reached a new low, haven't we? And, you know, this has never happened in our history, and they want to just make it like that's okay. I mean, to me, if the Republicans vote against this resolution, then they're going on record as saying when there's a Republican president, this is fine, this behavior.
And it's disappointing because it seemed like in private, congressional leaders such as John Boehner were telling Joe Wilson that, you know, you should apologize to the House. And he said, no, I don't want to. And so now Boehner's saying, well, okay, I won't vote against the resolution censuring you, even though I also think what you did is pretty bad. And so, it's, I mean, right, if this happens, I'm sure to a Republican president, they'll be doing the same thing.
Well, that's the thing. Like I was saying, I think earlier on the show today, Amanda, the low you would think is it happening, but now the low is that he's become a hero. So you saw all the Joe Wilson for President signs this weekend at these marches. He's fundraising on it. They're making him a hero for not apologizing. I mean, it really is a little stunning even for them.
At rallies, we saw people saying whenever Obama's name was mentioned, the crowd would shout out, "You lie." And, I mean, Joe Wilson, even though he did call Rahm Emanuel and apologize, it doesn't really seem like that apology was that sincere. He has basically come out swinging, saying, "I was still right. You know, I still think that Obama is basically lying."
Right. Well, that's the thing. It was the classic non-apology apology, wasn't it? It's like, oh, well, you know, if I said something, like, right. If you did. Yeah. Well, what is your prediction on health care? What, you know, how soon and what do you, where do you think we're going with it?
I mean, I wish I had a good prediction. I don't think right now anyone really exactly, I don't unfortunately think members of Congress know exactly what's going, but I think, you know, if the public option, for example, is dropped, I think you will see a huge outcry from the progressive members of Congress, the progressive caucus, you know, maybe Nancy Pelosi.
Yeah, absolutely, Amanda. I saw one poll that said, oh, it will anger his liberal supporters, but not that much. And I'm like, I don't know about that. If you've got 73% of doctors that want a public plan, I wouldn't be so sure, would you?
I think it will anger people quite a bit. I mean, we're seeing two petitions. Thousands of Obama campaign volunteers and staff members have signed saying we want to see the public option. So I think it will definitely anger a lot of progressives.
Yeah, absolutely. Amanda Turkle, thanks so much for taking time for us for the Center for American Progress. We appreciate it.
Great. Thank you.
All right. There she goes.
Hooray!
All right. Let's go to Sylvia in Los Angeles on the Congressman Wilson resolution. Hello, Sylvia.
Hello. I'm calling because I do believe Joe Wilson owes an apology publicly because he did it sort of offline, and it's really a half apology.
Well, and also it's against House rules. That's why I think to me he needs to apologize to the House. You know that that's the the body that was offended, and the rules of that body were broken.
Also, it sends a signal to everyone out there in the House and the Senate and that there's rules to abide by. And if you,
right.
You know.
And Sylvia, somebody made the analogy that Kanye West has apologized three times now. This boob can't even give a real apology to the President of the United States, you know? I mean, that's what I feel I sound like a crotchety old woman, don't I?
Yes.
I'm like, what the hell is happening in this country?
Get off my lawn!
People don't have manners anymore.
Damn kids.
Besides, it's my friend and I were almost right.
I'm going to blame Joe Wilson for Kanye West and Venus Williams. Probably they thought
Serena
that kind
Williams.
Of Serena. They thought that kind of outburst was appropriate because they just saw it in Congress. And that's, you see?
This isn't the first time Kanye's done this, though.
Yeah,
no.
He's always been a dick.
Uh-huh.
And a weed in addition. 42 minutes after the hour. Do we have the return of the Conspiracy Corner?
We could. Yeah, sure.
That sounded non-committal.
There may be a conspiracy as to whether there will be one. Like, that's a coincidence. That and more on the president's speech about Wall Street.
What have you heard?
As we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
And now, here's something we hope you'll really like.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. 47 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Holly in California on the president. Hey, Holly.
Hello.
Hi, go ahead.
Well, I am a physician. My husband and I are both physicians, and we are more than mad as hell at this. We want a public option, and that's why we fought for Obama. And yep. we're really worried because of the underlying alliance with the pharma connections, with how Baucus handles things, and just hearing triggers, co-ops. These are all very frightening, and that's obviously not what a public option is.
Well, and when Max Baucus says he thinks he'll get some bipartisan support, you're like, what? You're basing that on what?
Yeah,
they've been so cooperative thus far, haven't they?
Yeah, and you know what? We have a very seriously flawed system. It is dysfunctional. We are, as a surgeon, I am refused care. I mean, I can't get my patients the care that they are needed, that mm-hmm. is needed for them. Many times, the referral basis, it's all private situation where they deny me access to do what I need to do, and they give me bonuses when I don't provide the care that's rendered.
Mm-hmm. Yep, absolutely. Thank you, Holly. Good perspective, and in line with the new poll out today showing that, you know, 73% of the doctors surveyed want a public option.
Mm-hmm. But I thought we had the best health care in the world. The Republicans keep saying that.
If you can afford it.
Well, yeah, we would if they let the doctors do their jobs.
Sean Hannity's not a doctor, but he plays one on TV. You mean he's not? Huh? All right, let's, Conspiracy Corner mysteriously went missing for a while.
Yes, it did.
What's that all about?
I don't know.
But it has returned with Jim Ward. Hello, Jim.
Well, as I was beginning to talk about yesterday, you may have heard we have another Osama bin Laden tape. Well, that's weird, because I was under the impression he's been dead for years, and Sanjay Gupta agrees with me. He
really?
said a guy with the dialysis machine is not going to last too long in a non-sterile cave.
I'm supposed to have dinner with him soon. I know someone that knows him. I'm going to ask him about that.
Gupta?
Yes.
Ah,
it's a weird connection.
But I'm not the only one who thinks that. There was an article in the Daily Mail last week which asked the question, what if everything we've seen or heard of him on video and audio tape since the early days after 9/11 is a fake and that he's being kept, quote, alive by the Western allies to stir up support for the war on terror, which is what I've been saying for a while, and that's gaining credence among a lot of political commentators, academics, and terror experts. The theory received an airing in the American Spectator magazine earlier this year when U.S. Foreign Intelligence Officer and Senior Editor Angelo M. Codevilla, Professor of International Relations at Boston University, stated all the evidence suggests Elvis Presley is more alive today than Osama bin Laden.
Wow.
He is.
Other doubters include Professor Bruce Lawrence, head of Duke University's Religious Studies Department, and foremost bin Laden expert who argues that the increasingly secular language in the video and audio tapes are inconsistent with his strict Islamic religion, Wahhabism. His earlier tapes are littered with references to God and the Prophet Muhammad. And he also notices that in one video, at least, bin Laden wears gold rings on his fingers and an adornment banned among Wahhabi followers. Also, there appears to be a connection that the organization that's releasing these tapes is called Intel Center, which appears to be an offshoot of iDefense, which is staffed by a senior military PSYOPs intelligence officer who has worked directly for Donald Rumsfeld, who may have had some sort of financial interest in keeping the war on terror alive, I'm thinking. And I'm not the only one who thinks these tapes are fake. Several of the previous ones, including a 2002 audio tape, was not authentic, according to the Swiss Research Institute.
As they're called.
Yeah, place. Swiss Research Institute, say that three times fast, the Lausanne-based Institute for Perceptual Artificial Intelligence that compared the tape with 20 earlier recordings of bin Laden and concluded that the tape was fraudulent. It was someone pretending to be bin Laden. And as I said before, they've had voice recognition technology for a long time. I saw something 20 years ago on the TV that showed, like, an oscilloscope, which could... The best impressionist in the world couldn't outsmart that, and the technology's gotten better since then. By the way, someone said sent me something to say. I was talking about voice morphing. I'm not. That's completely different. Voice recognition technology.
Thank you, Jim.
But there's more.
Oh, I'm sorry. You sounded like you were wrapping up. Go ahead.
Oh, yes. And then there's the famous video of Obama. Osama bin Laden taking responsibility for 9/11. The one problem is this guy is clearly not Osama bin Laden, unless he managed to gain about 70 pounds, had a nose job, and spent a lot of time in John Boehner's tanning bed, and learned to write with his right hand. He's known to be a lefty, not politically a left-hander.
All right. So, thank you, Jim. Very interesting. Yeah. All right, let's go to Mayor John in West Hollywood. Hello, John. It's former Mayor John.
Former Mayor John, yes.
Hello, sir.
I'm here to apologize because I learned this weekend that gay spawn teabaggers. I was told by a right-wing activist that they modeled their town hall disruptions after the tactics we used with ACT UP in the 1980s to disrupt town hall meetings.
You gays are to blame for everything.
Of course, the difference was we all got arrested and taken away. They don't seem to be getting arrested.
Get on Fox News. All right, John. Thank you. Mike in Denver, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome. Hey, Mike.
Hey, I sent our friend Joe an admonishment personal email, and it was admonishing him for even considering apologizing when he spoke truth to power, and it was followed up with a mailing of cash to him, and I think that's
good. Oh, you sent him cash in a bag. Good.
Cash in a FedEx envelope, not a U.S. mail, so the unionized worker couldn't get
So you'll be okay if there's a Republican president with Democrats yelling liar at him.
He did.
Those damn unionized workers.
This, finally, there's a man in the body that is speaking for me.
Okay.
Since I've been a voter for 30 years, and I think the man should be rewarded both monetarily and with verbal praise. I think
good.
He did a great job speaking power to
You send all the spare money you have.
The dung that was in front of him. I think
you're all for him breaking House rules.
Yeah, I'm all for exactly what he did, and and so is greater than 50% of the American
vote. Oh, no. That is a lie.
Well, now, where did you do
you
that
lie.
For?
You lie!
In the new poll out today, 85% of Americans think it was completely inappropriate what he did.
Like you said.
Oh, a new poll. Who did that?
Where did you do your poll?
MSLSD or one of their polls?
MSLSD. How about faux news?
Where did you do your poll?
I don't do polling.
Yeah,
that's what I'm guessing.
Yeah, pulled it right out of his ass.
Can't find a woman that's interested.
That's not what I heard.
Jeff in Missouri, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome. Hi, Jeff.
Hi. I just wanted to say, you know, Joe Wilson's apology was sincere. He would have searched President Obama out and looked him straight in the eye and shook his hand and told him he was sorry. And also to the Congress. He'd have stood up in front of the Congress and apologized for his outburst inside of those hallowed walls.
Yeah, Jeff, I can't imagine what, you know, my dad and Barry Goldwater would think of this. I mean, it's just, it's back when real men were real men. All right. The president sternly warned Wall Street yesterday against returning to the sort of reckless and unchecked behavior, you know, like private insurance company behavior.
That
threatened the nation with a second Great Depression.
I want everybody here to hear my words. We will not go back to the days of reckless behavior and unchecked excess that was at the heart of this crisis, where too many were motivated only by the appetite for quick kills and bloated bonuses. Those on Wall Street cannot resume taking risks without regard for consequences and expect that next time American taxpayers will be there to break their fall.
Yeah. Senator Jim DeMint, by the way, he's not a fan of regulation, oddly enough, Jim.
Instead of looking at more regulation, we could do a lot by fixing our tax system here in this country to make us globally competitive.
Oh, you jerk. It was Glass-Steagall, the repeal of Glass-Steagall, that caused this in the first place. None of this could have happened if the investment banks and the commercial banks still had the firewall between them.
That
dragged the entire... almost dragged the entire global economy down.
This is an odd headline. Obama and Clinton eat Italian after Obama's New York speech.
Huh?
What? President Obama and former President Bill Clinton met privately for 90 minutes at an Italian restaurant.
Oh, yes.
I thought you meant Sarkozy's wife was in town.
Hey, Carla Bruni.
Obama said nothing to the gathered press corps while a cheery Clinton raved about the food.
She's good.
Oh, you know who else he's raving about? Gavin Newsom. He decided he's going to endorse him for governor of California.
Yes.
Ooh. The man after his own heart.
Good.
Robert Gibbs, by the way, said Clinton and Obama spent most of their time talking about the economy, including health care reform. So we'll get the details of that meeting hopefully tomorrow. That's it for us. I'd like to thank executive producer, engineer, boy toy, Chris the Boy, voice of deity, Jim Ward, associate producer, Rebecca Baker.
Producer?
See you tomorrow on the Stephanie Miller Show.